Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh!
Oh,
my God!
Oh, my God! Austin just can't step in the stutter!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Today is Tuesday, August 8th, 2017, and this is Monday Night Raw Review. And you guys are getting a treat here because typically I'll do a one-show, all-encompassing review show on Fridays, but Monday Night Raw really piqued my interest in several different facets, so we're going to get to that, and I could not wait until Friday to share my thoughts with you, so bear with me, buckle in, this could be an interesting ride, and if you guys haven't joined me before, thank you. This is a wrestling review show, so if you're like, oh, the fake stuff, oh man, yeah, so I'd probably just delete that from your show listing. Or hey, who knows, maybe I'll even create a new fan or two out there, but I do appreciate all the likes and everything else and comments and feedback you guys have given me. I am on Apple Podcasts and on Spreaker and probably many other podcast apps you have under WWE Podcast. Pretty original, right? You can go to WWEpodcast.com for all of these posts and much more. There's a way to support the show, very easy to do, and that would be rate and review me on Apple Podcasts or any podcast app that allows such reviews. So please take a moment and do it. It does, seriously, it really, really does help out the show. And I do appreciate everybody who's taking the time to do it. So let's take a moment here and really step back and look at Monday Night Raw. It was not the go-home show. Nothing earth-shattering happened. But it was a very interesting show for... Well, I shouldn't say for the only reason, for a big reason, because of the audience and the audience reaction. Or wait, as WWE labels them, Bizarro World. The way that WWE, and I tweeted this out earlier, and unfortunately I was limited to 140 characters because I could have gone on and on and on. And I am a fan of WWE. I'm a WWE fan for life. Unfortunately, for better or worse at times, I can't get enough. But I can't tear myself away from the product, even when it's terrible, eye-rolling, embarrassing to be a fan. I can't. That's not the case on Monday night. Most of the segments, and it was overall a very good show. But when WWE looks at their audience and says... They are our focus group every night. We listen to the fans. We know what the fans want even more than they know what they want. We know what they want before they know what they want. That's Vince McMahon's philosophy. But when the narrative of a story and of a protagonist and antagonist that you have cast is failing and failing consistently, you cannot label that audience that reacts to the opposite effect of what you're going for and as person that has been cast as an anomaly, in a vacuum, an isolated incident. You can't label it as such. You can say Bizarro World, as Corey Graves said Monday night, that Vince McMahon probably had, or Kevin Dunn, somebody was talking in his ear, to make sure that this reaction to Bayley, when it was said, this is in particular, was written off as Bizarro World. Because they're in Canada? Is that why? Every time you cross the border, it's Bizarro World. What about the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania? Is that Bizarro World? What about any time they go to a large market in Philadelphia, New York? Is that Bizarro World too? Is anything outside of the families and children reacting exactly the way that WWE wants them to react Bizarro World? Is anything outside of the narrative of what they're going for Bizarro World? Why do they have to make almost brush it off and discard it as don't listen to the... It's really when they're saying this, it's saying to the audience at home, or at least the attempt of the message is, this is a... We don't understand this audience. Disregard the reaction that they are giving to this particular persons or segment, because it doesn't fit with the narrative that we are trying to... that we have right now in WWE. And it's so frustrating to see that. Now I'm going to get right to it. Typically, I will go through Raw from start to finish in order here, from obviously from the top of the show to the bottom. It's the Hulu version, so yeah, there are things left out. And in particular this week, the Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt segment was left out, although I did hear about it. So let's talk right now about Bayley, because I can't wait any longer to talk about it. So let's get into it. And this is not a wrestling rant show, but at times it may sound like it is. I am just very passionate about the product. As I said, I am a fan for better or worse for life. And that is just what it is. And I'm proud to be a fan. At times it's eye rolling and embarrassing, but that's just, those are the lumps you take. And that is the oath you take as a wrestling fan. If you become a wrestling fan, you know that you're going to take crap from people, right? And at times, deservedly so, for bad product and bad on-air stories. But we take the lumps because we know that the majority of the time, it's enjoyable to watch. And we just love the product and we love the sport. We love the entertainment portion of pro wrestling. So we get that. We understand that as wrestling fans. But when the company is saying one thing and doing another by, we listen to the fans, but then when they don't react the way we want for a consistent amount of time, this has not been something that is just all of a sudden dropped on WWE's lap, a la Roman Reigns. But let's get back to Bayley, because I'm going off track here. Bayley comes out. She says it's really hard to be happy right now, but we, the WWE Universe, made her feel better. On Twitter and social media, wishing her well, she starts getting booed. Now, initially when she came out, it seemed like a lukewarm reaction. Nowhere near, to me, the reaction that Bayley should be getting at this point in her career on the main roster. And saying, I don't know why you're booing right now. She actually addressed it. It felt real. I don't know why you're booing right now, but she's thanking everyone that tweeted her from the WWE Universe. Even louder boos. Wow. Bayley was stopped in her tracks, and that's when Graves said Bizarro World here in Toronto. That is, to me, and this is where I don't think Vince McMahon, as in all his genius, understands why, or anybody in creative. I know I am just a fan. I am on the outside looking in. And I don't understand all the inner workings. I've never laced a boot. I've never stepped foot inside a ring. That is what creative, and that is what any performer, wrestler, would say to this opinion. And that's fine. But looking from the outside looking in, you also have a different perspective. You have the perspective of being able to step back and not be so caught up in the inner workings of the business that you can see it from a macro level. So that's the advantage of fans. We can see it at a viewpoint that the board members and the creative that sit in a room and put stuff pen to paper and make it sound really good to let you know if it's really good, if when executed, it was really good. And Bayley's debut from almost the beginning was botched. And that is why the fans are beginning to turn on her. This is not something that should be a surprise. Why? Because the fans have been starting to react less positively. Not negatively per se, but less positive week after week after week. And here's where Bayley's career, I believe, took the turn. She wins the women's Raw Women's Championship in controversial fashion with the help of Sasha Banks. And what really put the nail in the coffin here was not her winning, not necessarily even how she won, but her character's acceptance of how she won. That is the problem. That started the issue. Why? Because the Bayley character that worked at NXT, and we have no reason to believe it would not work in the same formula on the main roster, and many of the main roster fans did not watch her in NXT, that character is pure, it is innocent, it is an underdog, it has morals. This character of Bayley has morals and ethics. And when you take that character and you allow her to accept the championship the way that she won it. Now, I don't want to get into the fact that it was too soon even to begin with. But the fact that she won it, Sasha helped her to win, and then she accepted it, is what started the downward spiral. You can't have a character that stands for all that is good in Bayley, accept it the way she won it, instead of doing it herself the way that she wanted to do it and earn it. That was mistake number one. I could go through a list here of Bayley, this is your life, Bayley not really being able to connect on promos. I mean, the list goes on. So you add all this up. You add the botched push, the botched championship run of Bayley. She gets injured. She hasn't really connected with the main audience, stream audience. Oh, and by the way, her feud with Alexa Bliss, while it wasn't a bad feud, I think it was intriguing. And the whole hook for Extreme Rules was, can Bayley get extreme? Oh, and here's your answer for your hero, girls. No, she can't. Bayley may tell you, well, that's not what the Bayley character is. I would argue that not getting extreme and not retaliating against Alexa Bliss with the kendo stick and not being able to pull the trigger multiple times shows a lack of an ability to stand up for yourself and defend yourself. You want to be this hero to little girls that they can put their ponytail on the side of their head just like you can. And maybe they can get some wacky waving inflatable tube men too that don't work half the time. And maybe they can go hug their way to a championship. The fact that to me, she took the turn at the time that she won the championship and accepted the way she won. And then, to me, what I think really cemented her and a lot of fans, at least the fans that I would say are the male audience and maybe the older females, took the turn when she couldn't get extreme with Alexa Bliss, showed she didn't have a set, she couldn't stand up for herself, and the follow-up interview with Corey Graves, that she said she's not here to put bruises on people. She's here to put smiles on people's faces. Are you kidding me? I wish this was a Stone Cold Unleashed show. There would be a lot of profanity right now, but that's not what this podcast is about. It's just, I'm very emotionally invested in this. Guys, I know it's not real, okay? I just love the product. I want to see it improve. And I want WWE to realize why the fans are turning on Bayley. It's not because it's cool to cheer, to boo the babyface. It's not the cool thing to do. As JBL says, to boo Roman Reigns is the cool thing to do. Or he just puts on great matches. I don't give a damn. People putting on great matches is not the single factor in me cheering or booing for them. It can help. It can hurt. But it's not the only thing. And when you have an audience, and I'll get to Roman Reigns in a moment, but with Bayley, this downward spiral and not aligning what her character's morals and values were that made her so successful in NXT with her actions on Raw to hug her way to a championship, you're going to have people, first of all, that makes my stomach want to just release its contents, okay? It's not believable to me. It's soft. It shows she doesn't have a set. She doesn't want to stand up for herself. She's here to just hug people and make, what, be a hero? You can be a hero by not saying you want to be a hero. That's how you become a hero. So when she said to Corey Graves that she is here to not put bruises on people, this isn't story time. It's not show and tell in kindergarten class. This is WWE. This is the top of the food chain when it comes to wrestling. I'm not going to say sports entertainment. It's wrestling. This is the top of the genre. And you have a character on there saying she's not here to hurt anybody and maybe she can just hug her way to a championship? And they wonder why people are booing the goody-two-shoes, soft, unable to stand up for herself, poor little Bayley that has yet to cut an A-plus promo, and you wonder why, and gets injured again. So if WWE is wondering why, it's not the cool thing to do, it's not bizarro world, it's the fans that are educated and have followed the storyline and understand what Bayley, the Bayley character did in NXT and why it worked for Bayley and WWE and when she was in NXT. And you bring her over to the main roster and boy, have they effed this up. You had people booing not because it's cool. You had people booing because they have legitimate reasons to reject this character based on how it has been presented on the main roster. Botch after botch after hole in storyline after contradictory of morals and Bayley's values as a character. It just makes total sense to me that the fans booed. I would have been booing too. I said this months ago, that I am now against the Bayley character. As a person, I understand. Reality and fantasy, I understand. As for the person Bayley, I feel for her. But I think WWE could turn this character heel. I really believe that. Will they? No. Because they have too many girls putting their ponytails to the side, selling purple hug t-shirts that the girls want for their birthdays, okay? It's a business. It's a business. I get it. But that is my explanation of Bayley. So let's run down Raw, though. And I promise I'll get to Roman Reigns, but I don't want to do back-to-back rants, so I will not. But let's get to it. So Miz says Raw is not starting until he gets what he wants. Gets what he wants. He's tired of being blindsided on his show and tells Jason Jordan to get out here so he can finish what he started last week. Kurt comes out and instead he says Jason Jordan won't be on Miz TV tonight, but he has secured a guest that will exceed expectations. Brock Lesnar comes out. Miz cuts off Paul Heyman before he says a word and goes on to say how it's guaranteed that Brock loses SummerSlam, and Paul talks about role play with his wife. Paul, there probably could have been a better way to segue into this, but I get where he was going, but it was a little awkward. Miz is Roman Reigns. Bo Dallas is Samoa Joe. Curtis Axel is Braun Strowman. And Paul says that Brock is going to give us a preview of SummerSlam. Brock absolutely demolishes the Miztourage, giving them all F5s and Germans. Got to say, it's nice to see Brock do that once in a while. It's been a while since we've seen it. I like it. It reestablishes Brock in people's minds as a legit monster. Yes, it's just the Miztourage, but it's still three men. It's still the Miz, the Intercontinental Champion. Okay, I was a little worried about the furniture in the ring with all those Germans. I was kind of cringing to making sure Brock knew where he was and inside of the ring and making sure, you know, nobody's got dropped on their head. But everybody obviously was safe, and Brock came out looking like a legit monster. I'm loving it. So A-plus there. And just on the side note, with the whole Jason Jordan deal, this is kind of related to Bayley. People are wondering, you know, Jason Jordan has not gotten any reaction whatsoever from coming out. Nor should he. People don't just arbitrarily decide and just pick an emotion that they want to have about a person. Emotion is not often a choice. It is a reaction. It is authentic. So I don't know why WWE decides to say that it's the cool thing to do when you cheer or boo some, or when you're going against the grain. It's not the cool thing to do. People are booing baby faces that are failing as baby faces because that's how they actually feel. So with that said, though, Jason Jordan getting little to no reaction. Why should he? He's Kurt Angle's son. Okay. Even getting booed. Yeah. But so he just feels entitled. He hasn't been great on the mic. I don't know where this is going. He hasn't done squat in WWE. Take out NXT. He hasn't done jack in WWE. So why should we care? He seems a little bit vanilla right now. I am not trashing this guy as an athlete. He's a great athlete, a great amateur background, all world class athlete. And I understand that. But in a WWE context where you need personality and you need a good story to back it, we don't have it. There's been nothing. Zero. So the Jason Jordan non-reaction totally makes sense to me as well. So thought I'd get that off out there. Seth Rollins versus Sheamus. Rollins distracted Cesaro. Sheamus gets a roll-up for the win. And Rollins attacks both men after the match. And then he gets beat down. No Ambrose to make the save. Really good story going on here. Seth finds Dean backstage and calls him a jerk. And it's been 3 years. What does he have to do to prove he isn't the same guy? Dean says, I don't know. But he isn't sticking around to find out. And that Dean has Cesaro tonight. And just like always, he's going to do it alone. So, before we had part two of this, I was really enjoying this storyline. Very, very well done. The most relevant thing either man has done in about a year. And I mean that. It has been a long time since I've cared about both characters this much. I don't know what it is. Good writing, good acting, good timing. All of it right now is coming together for these two. And boy, does WWE need it right now. So, especially in the tag team division on Raw. The whole Bayley thing was next, but we're going to move on because I already addressed it. Sasha Banks versus Emma versus Alicia Fox. We had Alexa on commentary, and Sasha wins with the bank statement on Emma. Emma's last, I would say this was the best outing Emma has had to date. She had the support of the crowd. Sasha meets the winner of the second triple threat, which happened later in the night. And as I said, you know, Emma isn't the most polished performer, but she seemed to have the backing of the audience in Toronto. And it's just, I think it's a factor of Sasha associating herself as Bayley's best friend. That didn't help. On top of the fact that the whole give Emma a chance hashtag has caught a little bit of traction over the past week. And it's somebody new. You know, anytime there's a new face, it's just like with any sport. The second someone feels stale or maybe goes on a bit of a cool streak, performance-wise, whether it's a baseball player, football player, it's bring in the next, bring in the new, bring in the new, bring in the new. Everyone wants the next new thing, but the grass isn't always greener. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things here going on. Enzo and Big Show versus Anderson and Gallows, obviously with one of the members of the Revival out with a bicep tear, which is unfortunate. We have a replacement, and the replacement is Anderson and Gallows. So they come out, Enzo and Big Show, that is, and say that Cass's jaw must be soft after last week. Then Anderson and Gallows come out, and the back and forth led to a match. And I don't understand Anderson's obsession with the word nerd. It feels like high school, even before maybe middle school. I mean, that... I don't know. It's just, it hasn't caught on to me. In fact, I just kind of find it forced. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't even calling somebody a nerd. I mean, think about what a nerd is. People are nerds that are, you know, that are geeky, right? They have glasses, and I guess that's a stereotype that they are into science and mathematics and that kind of thing. And so it doesn't really fit Enzo and Big Show. So I don't know. He's just trying to, I guess, get some kind of, WWE, I'm about to say it. Momentum. Oh, I just said the corporate buzzword. So, all right. Enzo comes out or calls them Dr. Evil and Mini-Me. This wasn't a great intro to the match, but Enzo ends up taking the millionth loss for a team. And Cass kicks Big Show on the outside, who came out after or during the match, as Enzo and Cass brawl. Eventually, this leads or ends with Big Show knocking out Cass for the second week and Cass laying on the outside. So I expect a very heavy, heavy retaliation next week, and probably Cass to go over at SummerSlam. We're going to get to that as well. So, all right. Dean Ambrose versus Cesaro. Technically, it was a great match from a technical perspective. It went longer than I expected, and I think the crowd kind of felt the same way. Dean was distracted by Sheamus, but still managed to roll up Cesaro for the victory. While we're on that, the method of victory. How many roll-up finishes do we see in WWE? It's almost like every win is a fluke win. That every time, and that's how it's portrayed. Oftentimes, people who do those roll-ups or the competitors who do those roll-ups that win the match, that's the framework for, and that's the message of, that's a fluke win. Because oftentimes, I mean, you'll have big move, big move, big move, big move, and then roll-up? The roll-up is almost as frequently used as the disqualification. It's almost as if WWE is too scared to ever put anybody over clean, heel or face. It's frustrating because that to me tells everyone's a fluke win anytime I see a roll-up. So, all right, Seth comes out to make the save when Dean gets beat down, and both Dean and Seth end up looking at each other. The crowd is absolutely on fire for this segment because Dean extends his fist to Rollins. The crowd was waiting in anticipation for Rollins to do the fist bump a la Shield reunion, partial two-thirds Shield reunion. But Rollins walks away. The crowd really wanted to see them reunite here. This has been a very well-done storyline. I know people are thinking that this may have been a mistake. And looking back, the crowd reaction, I think the crowd would have absolutely exploded had Rollins retaliated or reciprocated that fist bump. I think of course, hindsight's 20/20, but in hindsight, we can all hindsight it, right? We're the Monday morning quarterback. You can say that would have been a perfect moment to reunite. But maybe WWE has something better in store. I just don't know how they're ever going to top that crowd anticipation and reaction for the reuniting. It's going to happen. It's a matter of when. Maybe they tag team, win the tag team belts on SummerSlam, or maybe they reunite next week before they win the tag team belts. Very possible. But it just seemed like the right moment. Even in the moment, I would have caught an audible and had those two just reunite right then and there. Because it's happening. It's just now they almost are going a little bit too long with this, at least in retrospect. Everything's 2020, right? Okay. Nia Jax versus Dana versus Mickie James. I don't think anybody had any question in their minds who was going to win this. This was all about Nia. She completely dominated both women, eventually hitting the leg drop on Dana Brooke for the win. So it is Sasha versus Nia Jax next week. Winner goes to SummerSlam to face Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. I know this is predictable. People are saying, well, everybody saw this coming. Who would have won other than Sasha or Nia? But you know what? Doing a surprise for surprise sake is usually 9 times out of 10 not a good idea. Just to shock for shock value, it's a very quick, short-sighted method of getting ratings or getting interest in creating interest. But long-term, you got a mess on your hands because now you got to clean up that shock value that was not done for the right reasons and you're trying to correct course. So I totally agree that, yeah, predictable, but so what? Not every single thing has to be unpredictable. Predictability can be good because you know what it does? It creates interest and it creates a buzz when something unpredictable does happen. Not every single angle, every single match has to be unpredictable. I don't agree with that. To me, predictability is a good thing because it sets the foundation and it makes it more exciting when something unpredictable does happen. So you see what I'm going with that? So that's people's criticism of WWE. Yeah, everything's too predictable. I don't care if it's predictable for the right reasons. Not all the time. If everything is linear and very easily foresight or foreseen, better word, then absolutely, then yeah, okay, fine, you have a gripe. But to me, I would make it 75% of the time. You can probably see what's going to happen. And then 1 times out of every 4, do something that the fans don't expect, take a swerve, a turn, a whatever it may be. So, all right, backstage, Kurt is on the phone. And by the way, if you're the GM of any brand or business and you were on your phone and not following what's going on with your TV product, I don't think you'd keep your job that long. Kurt is getting paid very well to be on his phone a hell of a lot of the time. Every time the cameras are on Kurt, he's on his phone. Do the cameras just follow him around to see who he's texting? Or I don't understand it, but all right. Cass interrupts and says he wants Big Show at SummerSlam under one condition. Enzo gets banned. He wants him banned from the arena and then the city and then the state and then whatever. So it kind of awkwardly then gets to Big Cass versus Big Show at SummerSlam, but I guess Cass had mentioned in passing that he, I don't care if you put Enzo in a shark cage. Well, guess what? Kurt ends up making that stipulation. It doesn't make sense. I mean, they just did this with Jericho last year, but that actually made sense because Jericho was constantly getting involved and actually costing Seth Rollins matches and championship opportunities. WWE has shown and educated us that Enzo is not a threat whatsoever to Big Cass. I guess they just wanted to put this in a match. I guess they felt that Big Show versus Big Cass on its own would not have been enough, and they needed to add some little gimmicky thing to the match. To me, it's a distraction. To me, this should be about Big Cass. Yes, we know he's probably going to go over and beat Big Show, but if you're establishing new stars and Enzo is not a threat to Big Cass whatsoever, WWE has documented that on a weekly basis since the split, Enzo getting beat down every single week since the split, Enzo not having any offense whatsoever on the pay-per-view match against Big Cass, then why bother putting him up there? This is about Big Cass. This is about establishing him, getting heat on Big Cass. And can you still do that? Yes, but it's just a distraction. It's a distraction that's unnecessary to have Enzo in a shark cage. So that's what I think about that. I'm puzzled. Okay, Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns in Last Man Standing. WWE clearly muting the crowd reaction for Roman Reigns when his music hit. If you go back and listen, you can almost hear the WWE turn down the volume on the audience. It sounds very muted. I just don't understand. How can Roman Reigns be positioned as a babyface when he and the announced team continue to repeat that he retired The Undertaker, one of the most beloved stars of all time in entertainment and wrestling, whatever. And you have this guy who the fans didn't like to begin with, now gloating every week that he retired The Undertaker, which I really don't think is the case. But at least in the context of what happened at WrestleMania and following that story, that he retired The Undertaker. Well, Vince McMahon is like, well, he's a star. We're trying to make him a star. Baloney. Very nice way of saying a lot of other adjectives I could have come up with. That is a bunch of crap. Hogwash. That's what that is. That is a way of saying, well, he beat The Undertaker. That should make him a star. That'll establish him, that'll give him some credibility. But that's crap. That's a bunch of crap. I am of the belief that there are good guys and there are bad guys, and I don't want to hear that he's the guy. If I have to hear he's the big dog, he's the guy, you think that those terms are endearing? That a male fan is going to hear those and go, yeah, he is. He's the guy. Some guy that constantly looks like he'd rather be anywhere else, like he's too cool for school. I don't watch Miz TV. Well, what do you do, Roman? You don't watch the product you don't watch the brand of the product that is paying you millions to be there. I mean, he gives off this just, I'm just too cool with a swagger. He comes off as a D-bag, and that's just the way it is. Is he like that in real life? Maybe a little bit, because he comes off so naturally, organically like that. I really believe that that is who he is. So, okay. So, while it was cool to see the timekeeper's chair used as a weapon, Cole saying that was one of the most incredible things, and this is a quote, that was one of the most incredible things that I've ever seen. That's a bit much. So, Strowman lifting an ambulance wasn't the most impressive thing you've ever seen. No. It is a 25-pound announcer's desk chair thrown at Roman Reigns. That's what did it for Cole. No. Not Strowman lifting a 3,000-pound ambulance with Roman Reigns inside. No. It is the 35-pound office desk chair. That's what did it for Cole. I don't know why he oversold that. Maybe he was told to. It was a little bit silly, though. I mean, yes, it has very rarely been done. If I can't even remember the last time that somebody used that particular chair as a weapon. So, yeah, cool. But and yeah, the clever analogy of a fastball, fine. But oversold. Way oversold. So Reigns hits the spear. Strowman is down. The ref stops the count at 8 because Samoa Joe attacks Roman Reigns in the crowd. What? It's no DQ. Strowman wins via Samoa Joe. That is really what happened. But my question is, and this is my final question to WWE. I have a lot of questions. I'm sure they'll answer me back because I'm there. My opinion really, really weighs highly on WWE's conscience. Conscience. And I think that they are really just waiting with bated breath on every word. So this is my final question to them. You have a last man standing match. Samoa Joe's in the crowd. He interferes. But he's not touching the guy that's down. He is attacking the guy that's standing straight up. Yet the referee, with no disqualification in this match, stops the count at 8. I understand that Strowman was to win this match because Samoa Joe wanted revenge on Roman Reigns. But you stopped. These referees are looking more and more incompetent every single week. I mean, what are the qualifications to be a WWE referee? I mean, if you're just looking at this as a fantasy perspective, like, what is it? I mean, I don't what is it? I mean, because do you have to be partially blind? I mean, do you have to have some kind of mental handicap? I understand it's fantasy. I get it. But they are making the referees on a weekly basis now look like mumbling fools. With between them constantly not seeing interference, them not being able to see or you know, understand that a match with no DQ can still go on, and you are worried about the guy who is down. That is the only reason the referee is there, is to count the person who is down, so you can count to 10. And, oh, by the way, that's probably another qualification to be a referee. At least count to 10, because if you're ever put in a last man standing match, that will be the number you have to count to. So I really believe, I mean, they're just making, oh, and between the fact that shoulders aren't being down, yet the referee's counting 3, a la last week on SmackDown with Kevin Owens. So I don't know what's going on, but that's just my question is, why did the referee stop his count? It's no DQ. Referee shouldn't give a damn. All he cares about, who's down? Let me count to 10. Let's see who wins. All right. That is my WWE Raw wrap-up for Friday. I wish it was Friday. For Tuesday, August 8th, 2017. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you like more of these and you want to subscribe, please do so on Apple Podcasts or on Spreaker under the WWE Podcast. You can go to WWEpodcast.com where all of these audio files are there. There's also some extra goodies in there, ways to support the show. There's a live show link, lots of other cool stuff. So check it out. I really put a lot of time and money into it as well. So guys, thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and I'll talk to you later this week with my SmackDown Live review. Until then, guys, take care.